Our reading this morning is from Psalm 117, verses 1 to 2. You will find this on page 511 of the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along, although the version being read this morning is a different translation than that in the Pew Bibles. This is God's word for us. Hallelujah to the Lord, all nations. Sing praises, all peoples. Because his covenant love overwhelms us, and the Lord's steadfast truth endures forever. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's important that it was a male scholar of a previous generation who was writing a book about the Psalms. And in his book, he wrote that the Psalms are a disordered collection of poems. And he offered the picture of a string of pearls as an example of a disordered collection. They're all on the string, but they're not connected to one another, and they're in no particular order. It was a wiser female scholar who responded that this male scholar clearly knew nothing about jewelry, and she felt sorry for his wife. There is, she said rightly, no such thing as a disordered string of pearls. You just don't get that. The master jeweler shapes the jewels, selects the jewels, polishes them, sets them in a particular order before stringing them together. Similarly, there is no such thing as a disordered collection of songs or poems. Just because, after 3,000 years worth of study, we haven't quite figured out exactly what the order of the Psalms might be, doesn't mean there isn't one. Over the years, many hymn books have been published. Some of them, the songs have been arranged alphabetically, like the White Mission Praise Book that's in the pews in front of you. All the hymns there are arranged alphabetically. Or they might be arranged thematically, hymns with a particular theme or purpose in the structure of a church service are grouped together. And if there's a red hymn book in the pew in front of you, that's that sort of hymn book where the hymns are arranged thematically. The point is, there is an order. There is a structure and a purpose to the way a group of songs or a group of poems are collected and put together. An American Old Testament scholar, a chap called Walter Brueggemann, proposed that the Book of Psalms is structured from obedience to praise as a journey. From obedience to praise. Psalm 1 begins the collection with a call to obedience. The Lord's Torah is held before the people reading and using the psalm as something to be meditated upon with delight. And the person who submits in obedience to the Lord's Torah is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which gives its fruit in season. Obedience is commanded in Psalm 1. Psalm 150 is an unrestrained celebration of praise. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, with the loud cymbals, with the organs, with the clapping hands and the dancing feet and the trumpets and the drums and the guitars and the lutes and everything that you can imagine. Let's use it to praise the Lord. There's not a hint of anything in Psalm 150 except for praise. And I find that quite persuasive, that the book of Psalms journeys from obedience to praise, or perhaps gets to praise through obedience. And so all the way through the Psalms, we find some Psalms which call us to obedience, and other Psalms which call us to praise, and often they're mixed together, sometimes in the same Psalm. But the journey is towards praise. And so, not quite in the middle, but Psalm 117, the shortest Psalm, indeed the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117, is a Psalm of praise, a hallelujah Psalm. This is where we're going. This is our future. Singing hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord, all nations. Sing praises, all peoples. Because his covenant love overwhelms us. The Lord's steadfast truth endures forever. Hallelujah. Psalm begins and ends with the praise word. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's left untranslated. Sometimes it's translated, praise the Lord. Who is to praise the Lord? Who does this short psalm tell us is invited, called to praise the Lord? All nations, all peoples. There is no part of the world, no territory, no geographical area, no political body that has ever been anywhere in the world that is not summoned to hallelujah, to the praise of this Lord. There is no people group, no language, no tribe, no city, no town, no possible association of humans under any guise which is not called to praise the Lord. The focus of Psalm 117 is on humans and the call upon all humans everywhere to praise the Lord. If we'd been reading Psalm 19, you might remember we would have read of creation, the stars, the heavenly bodies being called to give their praise to the Lord. All creation praising the Lord. But here in Psalm 117, it is humans, you and I, men and women. There is no human, not at any time in the past, not anywhere today, and not at any time in the future, who is not called to sing hallelujah. This is why we're here, is to worship the Lord. This is the great story of God in the Bible. In Genesis 12, God calls a man called Avram. He says to Avram, you are to serve me, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The election of Avram or of Israel is not God choosing one nation for their privilege, but God choosing one man, one family, one nation, so that they might be used by God to invite and call every nation, every family, every person. And this is what God does all the way through. In the same way as God called Abraham, God has called us. Every Christian person, every disciple of Jesus, the call of God is upon us that he might bless all nations, all peoples through us as they join in singing hallelujah. This great purpose of God is brought to fulfillment, and we read of that in the book of Revelation, as all the nations are gathered before the throne of God, and they sing together to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. It will happen. All creation and every human will worship the Lord. You will never meet ever another person who is not called to sing hallelujah by this psalm. It's just impossible. Doesn't matter where you go in the world, doesn't matter how many people you meet, every single human person you meet is invited and called by God to worship Him. And so this is our confidence and mission. There is no one we will ever meet who we cannot properly, by God's purpose, invite to worship Him. We tell the world about our God so that they might join in praising Him. God longs for all peoples to praise Him, and we are those sent with the invitation cards. We are those who are sent by God to call others. Indeed, we are God's visual image. We are those sent by God to show others what it is like to live a life singing hallelujah and praising God. We are to show them in our lives. Everyone we meet, people from all nations and all tribes and all tongues, are supposed to look at us and see what a difference it makes in human life when people praise God and sing hallelujah to Him. This is how we do mission. Imagine you met someone this week, last week, sometime in August in Edinburgh, and they were to say to you, oh, there's this show on the Fringe, and you really should go and see it. It's a great show. And you were to say to them, oh, did you go? Did you go and see it? And they said, oh, no, I didn't go and see it. Do you think you're going to trust them? Do you think you're going to say they really know what they're talking about? Imagine somebody says, St. Andrews is great for a day out. And you say, oh, when were you there? Well, I've never been. But it's great for a day out. Imagine you say to someone, God invites you to come and praise Him, to sing hallelujah and worship Him. And they say, when do you do that? I don't see that in your life. They're not going to be very encouraged to answer your invitation to come and worship God if they don't see the difference it makes in your life. All nations are called. All peoples are called to worship God. We, by our worshiping, by our singing hallelujah, are supposed to demonstrate to all nations the blessings of God from living like that. And so encourage them to accept God's invitation, to answer God's call. Who is to praise? Everyone is to praise. And that includes us. Who are we to praise? Hallelujah to the Lord, all nations. Sing praises, all people. His covenant love overwhelms us. The Lord's steadfast truth endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is a verb which requires an object. There has to be someone or something which is being praised. So who are we to praise? To whom do we sing hallelujah? You might say we praise God. But in 2019, there's a problem with the word God. Turns out it doesn't mean anything anymore. The word God is used by many, many people in Scotland and Edinburgh today to mean many, many different things. It's so bad that every time you say God, you have to add something to explain who it is you identify by that word. If someone says, I believe in God, you really need to ask them, which God do you believe in? And sometimes when I've heard people describe the God they believe in, I find myself thinking, that doesn't sound anything like the God of the Bible. That doesn't sound anything like Jesus the Savior. I don't know who it is you're praising, but it's not God. Not all that is called God is in truth the God of the Bible. And so this psalm uses a different word. In English translations, it's the word Lord in block capital letters. This is the personal name for God. Only the God of the Bible identifies himself with this name. Whatever other people think they're calling God, they never use this name, this word, to describe him, to identify him. Only the God of the Bible identifies himself in this way. The worthy object of our praise is this Lord, the great big God of the Bible, the one who appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and the bush was not consumed, the one who led his people out of slavery in Egypt, across the sea and across the river, and into a land where they could live and know him. The one who came in Jesus of Nazareth as God with us. The one who in Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. The one who in Jesus rose again from the grave in triumph over every foe. That's the God we worship. Him and no other. The one who makes himself known that way and not any other way. There is no one and no other worthy of our praise, worthy of our hallelujahs. When we sing blessing and honor and glory and power to the Lord, it is this God, this unique one God that we seek to honor. When we pray for 1,000 tongues to sing in praise of the Lord, it's this Lord we are wanting them to praise. This is why we pursue the knowledge of the God of the Bible. We want to know him. Because the more we know him, the better able we are to clearly sing our hallelujahs, knowing who it is we're singing to. We're not singing into a void of unknowing. We're not shouting at the wall and hoping somehow it sticks. In the light of the revelation of his glory in Scripture and in the cross of Christ, we come to know the God who is the object of our praise, who is more worthy of our hallelujahs than any other. He is the one we sing to. Hallelujah to the Lord, all nations. Sing praises, all peoples, because his covenant love overwhelms us and the Lord's steadfast truth endures forever. Hallelujah. So how do we do this? How do we sing hallelujah, praising this great God of the Bible more than any other? I think verse 2, it gives us the answer there. His covenant love overwhelms us. Well, are you overwhelmed by his covenant love? Does it stagger you that this great God who created all things loves you? This covenant love is the disposition of the Lord in favor towards you. And praising the Lord is living in that relationship of love with him. Yes, we sing of his love, but there's much more than that. Sometimes at the start of a Sunday service, when I say the praise, let us worship God, I find myself thinking, what was I doing 5 minutes ago? Were we not worshiping God then? Of course we were. We were living in his covenant love. And that is how we worship him. That is how we praise him. By his covenant love, the Lord seeks to enter into a relationship with you, a personal, committed, loving relationship. But we know that you cannot force someone else to come into a loving relationship with you. You just can't do that. Can't compel them. Can't force them. Both parties have to want to come and live together in love. And the Father who loves you is never going to compel you, is never going to manipulate you, is never going to try and force you. All he can do is love you extravagantly, abundantly, overwhelmingly. What he does is pour his love upon you day after day after day, faithfully, according to his covenant. Do not say to yourself, do not ever say to yourself that God doesn't love me. The constant promise of Scripture is that God does love you. He loved you yesterday, he loves you today, and he's going to love you forever. Do not imagine that there is something you can do that will make God love you less, or that there's something you can do which will cause God to love you more. God already loves you with the overwhelming abundance of his covenant love. There is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God which is for you in King Jesus your Lord. And so it ends up feeling a bit like surrendering, giving in to the truth of the gospel. God loves me, and I'm going to live as though it were true. God promises he loves me, and I'm going to lean upon that. I am going to lean upon that so hard that if it's not true, I'm going to fall over, and there's nothing to stop me. Maybe you know what this is like. Maybe you need to use a stick or a walking aid of some kind. You have to lean upon it. You have to actually put some pressure on the stick for it to do you any good. It doesn't do you any good if you carry it under your arm. It doesn't do you any good if you forget about it and leave it in the cupboard. You have to get it out and use it and lean on it. God loves you. Don't leave it in the cupboard. Don't forget about it. Don't imagine that you need to carry God around with you. He wants to carry you, and you need to get it out and lean upon it so hard that there's nothing else to hold you up. And this is singing hallelujah. This is praising the Lord, is living in his love, letting him love you the way he wants to. His steadfast truth endures forever. Are you living within the influence of his steadfast truth? This truth which the Lord is not a proposition. True or false, God created all things. True or false, God does miracles. True or false, God came in Jesus. God spoke in the Bible. It's not like that. The enduring and constant truth which God is expresses his being God and his doing in his creation what God should do. That's the truth about God. He really is the Lord of creation, and he really does for his creation all that a God should do. A God worthy of the name sustains his creation. He holds it in his hand. A God who is truly God achieves his purposes of grace towards all of his creation in renewal and recreation. A God who is truly God reconciles himself to women and men who have run away from him, who have rejected him and denied him. He reconciles himself to you. If he is truly God, this is the work he is constantly engaged in. This is the work of God for the blessing of all his creation. This steadfast truth, God is God. He is doing what God does. This steadfast truth endures forever. Is this where you live? In the sphere of this truth? This is how you sing hallelujah. This is what it means to praise the Lord. We live according to his truth. We recognize God at work around us. We depend upon him being God and doing the things that God should do. Yes, we're to believe. There are things to believe and give intellectual assent to all that God is and all that God says. But much more than that, we are to live together with him. Let him be God. and celebrate his great deeds done because he is God. He is to be our father, our companion on the journey, the one who is closest to us. This is the truth of our God. Our hallelujah song is not a tune or a words, but a life that we live. All that we do, all that we are, lived under his covenant love, lived under his steadfast truth. Hallelujah to the Lord, all nations. Sing praises, all peoples, because his covenant love overwhelms us, and the Lord's steadfast truth endures forever. Hallelujah. We are the people who are to sing and live hallelujah. We are the people who are to invite all others to join us in lives which live for the glory of God. This God is the God of the Bible, our Father, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit powerfully poured out and at work within us. He and no other is the Lord. And we praise him. We prize and value him above anything else. And to do this, we let him love us. And we depend upon his love. We let him be God. And we celebrate the truth that he is God and is doing what God should do for us. This is who we are as disciples of Jesus. 1,000 tongues to sing hallelujah to the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to this great joy of hallelujah. That you call us to lives given over to praising you. What a wonderful God you are. May your love transform our lives. May your truth shape and guide our lives, that we might be known as hallelujah people, those who live in relationship with you, in love with you, in your truth, and whose whole life is a story of praise and worship and adoration to you. Be at work in us for this, we pray. Through Jesus our King. Amen.